Nick DiGiulio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower, here till midnight tonight. So the summer movie season kicks off Friday with Iron Man 3. And every year we like to do a big summer movie preview. It's always a big time for movies and tons of box office big box office movies come out. The blockbusters, the comic book movies, the big action films, all that stuff that usually comprises summer films. And we've got a full preview for you May all the way through to the end of August. If you have any questions or you're looking forward to a specific movie that's coming out this summer, you can call us. The phone lines are wide open. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And we're going to give you a full summer movie preview. Any summer movie questions or comments, just give us a call. 312-981-7200. And joining me live in studio is one of my buddies on Friday night, Colin Suter. Hi, Colin.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Very well.
So what time of season do you look forward to during the year for movies? Is it summer or?
Fall really. But yeah. But you know, summer I is probably the second on the list because, you know, early in the year, of course, is when the studios unload their garbage. And then the springtime you start to get a little, you know, a great movie here and there.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you start to, you know, get a taste for some explosions and some just, you know, some summer mayhem for a while, just for a few months. But summer is also a good time for, you know, the indie films that come out, like in August, usually, like a lot of the big movies from Sundance that got a lot that have been getting, you know, talked about for the last 6 months start to roll out too.
Yeah.
So that's always good to look forward to. Most of the movies I look forward to in the summer are the stuff from Sundance and South by Southwest that people have been talking about for months.
Wasn't Tree of Life a summer release?
It was, yeah.
It was like a June release, I
think. It was like a late May release, Memorial Day almost.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah.
But they've got a few of those, and I think that might have happened because wasn't Little Miss Sunshine a summer release? And then it kind of took off. I don't know. Nobody expected it to do very well.
It was August. And usually, like, August will produce something that, you know, will sustain some momentum into award season, something, you know, like in the screenwriting category, something quirky and funny and crowd-pleasing like that.
A lot of the bigger movies that are released in August, though, are usually not very good. They kind of dump a lot of the stuff at the end of the summer, which is one of the reasons why Rise of the Planet of the Apes was such a huge surprise.
Yeah, I think August gets that kind of reputation, but I think there's usually one that kind of sneaks in there and surprises people. You know, like Rise of the Planet of the Apes or District 9. And Glorious Bastards was an August movie too. So, you know, there's usually one thing in there. And then there's that one summer where we had three big comedies all released within a week of each other. We had Step Brothers, Tropic Thunder, and Pineapple Express, all early August movies. You know, so you never know with August.
All right. And I liked all three of those movies, by the way. I thought they were all good. The phone number is 312-981-7200. So it gets kicked off with Iron Man 3. Are you excited about this one?
You know, I probably would be more excited if we didn't just have the Avengers. You know, I mean, I like Robert Downey Jr. and I like the Iron Man movies. I don't love them. You know, I think they're fine. I could wait another year without it, and then it's a nice, you know,
space in between.
Yeah, for Robert Downey Jr. to do something else.
Yeah,
like a Tropic Thunder, maybe. Yeah. You know, something big like that. You know, so it's fine.
I'm looking forward to it. I just want to see, you know.
I like that Shane Black is directing
That's to me is the key.
Yeah.
It's like if Favreau had directed this one, I'd be a lot less excited.
Right.
Or a lot less interested
in
seeing it because Shane Black's only directed one movie.
Right.
And it's not a big, it wasn't a big budget sci-fi science fiction special effects epic.
No, but
it was a satire.
Right.
And it was great, actually.
Yeah, it was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. is terrific in that. So it's good that they already have this rapport together.
Right.
And I think, you know, maybe this will be the best one, and you know, just it looks darker.
It does.
It looks,
and Ben Kingsley is in it.
So you know, this might be, you know, the great one.
Yeah,
but
I actually liked the second one.
I think it's okay,
and I think I liked it more because I saw it in Dublin.
Yeah.
So that was like that. Okay. I think that added to it. It was just a very, it was like the last night of my trip in Dublin.
Yeah.
We were leaving the next day to go back. And one of the last things we did was we went to a theater in Dublin and saw Iron Man 2. And maybe the movie's not that good. I've only seen it the one time. But when I walked out of the theater, I was very happy.
Yeah. Well,
and we went to a pub.
That's the thing. I've seen both Iron Man movies exactly once each.
Yeah.
You know, you see them, you have fun. And, you know, I see them, I have fun. And then I just kind of forget about them. And I don't have the urge to see them again.
Iron Man, I've seen. Iron Man, the first Iron Man, I've seen a few times. Okay. Just Iron Man 2, I've only seen the one time. All right, so Iron Man 3 is the first one to kick off. We can go through May here.
Yeah.
Let's just go right to The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
This is Baz Luhrmann's new movie, who I make no secret. I think this guy's one of the worst filmmakers on the planet.
Yeah.
And I've pretty much hated every one of his movies. I'm trying to think if there's one that I've even remotely liked.
You know, when I when Strictly Ballroom came out, I thought it was I thought that was a fun little movie. It just kind of came out of nowhere and had some style, had some spunk to it. You know, it was kind of a sleeper hit, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And I think I like the soundtracks to his movies a lot more than the movies themselves, because I think the soundtrack to Romeo and Juliet is fantastic, and some of the visuals, and I actually do think some of the visuals in his movies are interesting. I think he's got an interesting, he's an interesting visual director if he lets his shots last more than 1 second.
Yeah.
That's where I have a problem with him, is his over-editing.
I just can't. This is Leonardo DiCaprio, Carey Mulligan, Tobey Maguire. It's the second time this film has been made, adapted from the classic novel. And I just see nothing but disaster written all over this. This is the one movie that I am probably dreading. One of the ones that I am dreading the most this summer is The Great Gatsby. I can't imagine it not being a spectacular disaster.
Yeah, and it's in 3D.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. And I guess that is the next really big one that comes out. That one comes out May 10th. May 17th is the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Into Darkness. This is J.J. Abrams' second movie of his reboot of the Star Trek series. Now, what did you think of the first one that Abrams did?
You know, I thought it was okay. I just thought I wasn't crazy about the casting. I just thought Chris Pine was just a very bland Captain Kirk. And I just thought, like, some of the casting choices, like Winona Ryder and Tyler Perry, you know, Winona Ryder, I think, played Spock's mom or something.
Yeah.
You know, an old age makeup. It's like, why not just hire an old woman?
Yeah.
Why do we, you know, stuff like that bugs me. You know, I thought it had some great sequences in it. Honestly, this is like the Iron Man thing. I saw it once, and I just kind of don't. I couldn't tell you anything about the plot.
I don't remember. I'm with you on this one 100%. I was completely underwhelmed after the first Star Trek movie. I really was. And I don't know. This one again, like the new Iron Man, looks much, much darker.
Yeah,
it's Abrams again, though.
Right, and that's why I'm you know, sort of looking forward to it, because I like J.J. Abrams.
I do too. Know? I do too. Well, let's see. What else do we got? We have The Hangover Part 3.
Oh, great.
Coming out May 24th. I think that you and Eric and I might be the only three critics in the world that hated both Hangover movies, because a lot of people liked the first one and were, you know, like, didn't like the second one very much. But I actively hate the two Hangover movies. I think they're both horrible.
They are horrible, especially, I mean, you know, between the two films, I laughed, I think, a total of 5 times. And those are mild laughs, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I can pinpoint each part where I thought was funny. But the thing I just hate the most about them is that they take such a great idea for a comedy and squander it. I mean, there's so many things you could do with this concept. And, you know, all of the, you know, sort of these sort of male bonding, you know, elements, all these things you could do with it to sort of explore the male psyche of being drunk and not remembering what you did the night before and coming to certain realizations. There's all kinds of things you could do with that concept while still being raunchy and, you know, outrageous and funny. And these movies just don't have a sense of that at all, of what this could be.
And I got to say, I find the success of the first two. The second one didn't make as much money as the first one did, I don't think.
I don't know either.
I don't think it by much. I mean, it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this one will make a lot of money. There's no question about it. I'm baffled by the success of these movies. I'm baffled by how funny people think the Hangover movies are.
Yeah.
I just, I, when I, you know, And I know that comedy is a subjective thing, obviously. Yeah. You know, everybody laughs at different things. But, like, for the majority of people to have found The Hangover not only funny but absolutely hilarious, I just don't – it's foreign to me. It's like suddenly people are speaking Swahili. I don't understand you.
Yeah.
I don't understand you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, putting Zach Galifianakis in something where he acts goofy is an easy way to generate laughs from people who are out on a Saturday night, probably had a few drinks in them and are just looking to laugh at something.
I saw the first Hangover movie on the Friday that it opened at River East. It was packed, and everyone in that theater except for me was laughing.
I had almost the opposite experience because I went opening day too. I missed the screening at the Evanston, and there weren't that many people in the audience. Of course, it was like a 4:30 or 5 o'clock show.
I did it right before my Friday show, so it was like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so it was just me and maybe 10 other people, and they weren't laughing that much.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I thought, okay, well, this probably won't do very well.
And the second one, the crowd, I saw the second one. I think I saw the second one at a press screening.
I remember sitting next to you. We were there at the press screening.
And it didn't go over well. I mean, it just, not a lot of people were laughing. And a lot of people, when we were all walking, a lot of people were walking out saying that was exactly the same movie as the first one.
Yeah, it's a carbon copy.
Beat for beat for beat. It's the same movie.
Yeah, it's the Home Alone 2. And Hangover.
Instead of his tooth being pulled, he has a tattoo on his face.
Right, right, right.
There's a monkey instead of a tiger.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, The Hangover Part 3, I've seen the trailer for it, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about, have you seen the trailer for, and what do you think of this Now You See Me movie?
I'm excited about it.
Are you
except
really?
Except for the fact that it's directed by the guy who did Clash of the Titans.
That's right.
That's the only thing. Other than that, I love the concept of it.
Tell everybody the concept. It's Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, it's a group of magicians who do bank heists and, Robin Hood style, stealing from the rich to give to the poor. I mean,
they're magicians, but I think they do...
They're
magicians, and I think they actually pull the heists during their shows, or at least that's what it looks like in the movie.
Yeah,
like they're in the middle of doing this big, Vegas style illusion act, and they're ripping a bank off at the same time, and then money rains down into the audience.
Right,
and it's such a weird. And of course, Morgan Freeman is in it
because
he's got to be in 150 movies this year.
Right, and so is Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
So like that right there.
Yeah.
It's
an interesting concept. I hope it works.
Yeah, I do too.
That opens at the end of May 31st. All right, we got a few more movies in May to talk about. Then we'll move on to June, July, and August. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, a full summer movie preview with me and Colin, and your questions. And what are you looking forward to? Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We got some people who are calling in, but we got a few lines open if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, if you would like to call in right now. So give us a call, and we'll get you on the air. We're talking with Colin Suter about the summer movies. The big summer movie season begins officially with Iron Man 3 next week. What do you know about Epic? This is an animated film. I don't know what studio it's from.
It's I don't know either, but I think it's from.
It says Blue Sky is a new animated film.
Yeah, it's the guy who did Ice Age and Robots is the one who directed this.
Oh, okay.
And it's got voices by Colin Farrell, Amanda Seyfried, Christoph Waltz. And it looks like a takeoff on, fairy tales and stuff. I don't know. That doesn't fill me with a lot of enthusiasm, to be quite honest. Visually, it looks great. I think Robots and Ice Age are visually pretty great.
Yeah, but they're not the strongest scripts in the world.
No, they're very juvenile humor, not a lot of heart, put into them, kind of superficial. That's kind of the feeling I get from when I see this trailer for this one.
Yeah. All right. That's called Epic, and that's May 24th. We were talking about how sometimes some really good indie movies come out in May. Come out in the summer, and there's a few here now. The one that I've been hearing a lot, and you guys actually showed this one at the film festival last week, which is Black Rock.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, now tell everybody about this. This is a thriller, right?
Yeah, it's a thriller, and I believe one of the Duplass brothers is involved with it.
Of course.
You know, so that means the script is like 6 pages long, and they improvised everything else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I heard mixed things about it. Some people really like it. Some people not so crazy about mm-hmm. it. But you know, we got quite a good-sized crowd for it at the festival.
Yeah.
But I went to see a little slam dance movie called The Dirties instead. Mm-hmm. So. Which is not on the summer preview, unfortunately. It's a very good film.
But it's about three girls who go on a weekend camping trip, and then all hell breaks loose at some point.
Right.
So that's Black Rock, which is sketched
to open.
Yeah,
was in it.
Mm-hmm. Kate Bosworth, Lake Bell, and
Katie Asselton,
who also directed.
Yes.
So that's May 17th. And then there's a movie that I've not seen anything about or read anything about except for what they wrote about. In Entertainment Weekly, it's Noah Baumbach's new movie, who I love. I think I love his movies. I know that like some people have reservations about some of them, but I think Noah Baumbach rules. And his latest movie is Greta Gerwig, who was also in Greenberg, which he made. And it's a movie called Frances Ha. Now, what do you know anything about this? And this also opens on the 17th.
No, I don't. I mean, I've seen the trailer. You know, it's a black and white film. Mm-hmm. It looks like a Noah Baumbach film. You know, just
for those people who don't know, he did The Squid and the Whale. He did what was the one with Nicole Kidman, the wedding one?
Oh.
With Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah. Margot at the Wedding.
I loved that movie, that was one of two movies I saw that day that inspired multiple walkouts.
Yeah,
I saw them
definitely.
They were both at the Landmark Century Cinema, and they both movies in back to back movies that I saw inspired multiple walkouts. It was that one, Margot at the Wedding with Nicole Kidman. People just were like, after a while, were like, "That's it, I'm gone."
Well, there was a lot of defecating in that film. I
loved that movie. And then the other one that inspired walkouts was. The Todd Haynes, Bob Dylan movie. I'm Not There.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People got up and walked out during that, too. It was a very strange day. Within 4 hours, I witnessed about 20 walkouts all in the same theater.
This must have been at the Landmark Century.
It was, yes. Yeah, okay. Both of them were there, yeah. So Frances Ha is the latest movie. You expect it to be sardonic. You expect it to be dark.
Right.
You expect the characters to be borderline very unlikable.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you get.
Yeah.
Now, on the opposite end of that, is the third, right? The third in the before?
Yeah.
This is the end of the trilogy for Richard Linklater, which started in Before Sunrise.
Yeah.
And then Before Sunset, and now Before Midnight. And this is the Ethan Hawke.
Julie Delpy.
And Julie Delpy romantic films that Richard Linklater has put together.
Yeah. I think this is the movie I'm looking forward to the most this summer. The buzz out of Sundance is, you know, through the roof. Great. And I really enjoy these movies. I mean, I think they're just so simple. I love these two characters. I love, you know, seeing them struggle with this attraction and all these, you know, things that are in their way. And then this one's going to be interesting because, you know, it's about how they maintain, you know, now that they're together, how do they maintain that relationship in the face of, you know, I guess they have kids in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was reading in Entertainment Weekly about this. Julie Delpy said that she, you know, that they could see the series going on beyond this.
Right.
And she's saying like the last movie will be like a more. You know, which, that'll be fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, I like these movies very much, too. I think they're great. And I'm really looking forward to Before Midnight as well. That opens May 24th. I find both of the movies to be really beautiful and just wonderfully performed and really, you know, fun to watch and insightful about relationships.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes you think about not just relationships, but a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know.
The last one I want to mention in May, and then we'll move on to June, is, of course, Fast and Furious 6, which I can't wait to see. I have decided that I pretty much like all of these movies.
Yeah, I mean,
the ones that are bad, I like.
Yeah. I like, you know, I can get into them. The last one, I thought I had a great opening sequence, and I think it's got probably a great, you know, final sequence. It's the middle part where it's just like DOA. It just not a lot of action. I don't consider a chase. I don't consider a race between friends an action sequence. You know, like I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this one is more, you know, wall to wall mayhem.
You know, I don't know how the hell they're going to explain Michelle Rodriguez coming back because she gets killed in the fourth one.
Right.
Well, right at the beginning. And see, the only ones that I don't like are 2 and 4.
She could have a twin sister. It's a Fast and Furious.
I don't
movie.
Like 2 and 4 as much.
Yeah.
The second one directed by Singleton is the worst of the series.
Now, is 4 the one, is that Tokyo Drift?
No, that's 3.
Oh, that's 3, okay.
Yeah. I love Tokyo Drift.
I can't remember 4.
But, like, nobody
now.
From the other movies is in Tokyo Drift. I think right. Paul Walker's only in it for, like, a minute.
Yeah.
But then they all came back for the 4th and the 5th one. Yeah. And I love the last one. I thought the last one was great. The scene where they're dragging that safe behind is awesome.
That's,
taking out cars and buildings
a good
and
scene.
Stuff. It's
that's
awesome.
A good scene.
So Fast and Furious 6, I love them. I don't care. It comes out May 24th. All right, we got the news coming up next, and we're going to hit June, July, and August. We got a couple people on the line. Everybody hang on, and we'll get to your phone calls at 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are here in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Until midnight, we're doing a summer movie preview. We want to get as many movies in as possible. Colin Suter is here. He helps us review movies on Friday nights, and we're doing our summer movie preview. Quickly, let's try to get a couple of phone calls in before we get back to our preview. This is Tony and Joliet on WGN. Hi, Tony.
How's it going, Nick?
All right.
Movie that I think is going to be hitting it up next to Iron Man is the new Thor.
Well, that doesn't come out till next year.
Oh, okay. Then,
yeah, that one's not. I think that's actually. I actually think that that's next May.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, or next spring. So you got about a year to wait for that one, Tony. That one's not coming out for a while. I know there's a teaser trailer. There's a teaser trailer online for it right now, but I'm almost positive it doesn't come out till next year.
Okay, because then I misread the date on it.
I'm pretty sure it comes out next year. All right, Tony, thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Yeah, they would not put Thor up against Iron Man.
No, Superman.
It's one of those. No, but I mean, it's because those are both Marvel.
Right.
That they're not going to put those guys up against each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be Thor one summer, Iron Man, you know, another summer.
Right.
And then bring the Avengers, all the Avengers back
right.
For the other summer. All right, this is Chuck. He's on the road on WGN. Hi, Chuck.
Good evening, gentlemen. I got to tell you, the video I'm looking forward to, the video entertainment I'm looking forward to more than anything else this summer is the last episodes of Breaking Bad. But I know guys are doing this kind of chronologically. What could be this summer's kind of Inception, kind of the movie that's, you know, a little different, a little thought-provoking, a little unexpected?
Mm. My first choice would be a movie called Elysium.
Yeah.
With Matt Damon and Jodie Foster. It's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9, which was a great film.
Yeah, District 9 was terrific. Yeah. It was actually, I kind of got around to that one after it was out of the theaters, and I was actually very surprised at how much I liked that one.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great. And everything that I've read about and the trailer that I've seen for Elysium leads me to believe, it comes out on August 9th, by the way, leads me to believe that not only is it going to be really cool and sort of kick-ass sci-fi special effects, but I think there's going to be a lot going on with that movie. I think it's going to be about a lot. I think it's going to be intelligent. I think it's going to be full of depth. What do you think, Colin?
It looks like this is going to be, from what I've read, the social satire or whatever you want to call it, social commentary is about the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah. Which is kind of what District 9 was about as well,
Yeah. That was more like about apartheid, I think. But mm-hmm. But this one looks like it's on the same level, the higher budget than District 9. I can't believe District 9 is only made for $30 million.
Isn't that amazing?
You watch that thing.
Is it a sequel to District 9? Is it the same universe? Do you guys know anything?
No. It's not a sequel. It's a separate. It's a separate thing entirely.
Okay.
So, futuristic.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Take care. And I'll pay to see Jodie Foster do anything. I don't care.
Sure.
I love her. Yeah. And, that comes out in August. So for the sci-fi fans, I think that would be when he said what's going to be the next Inception. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like Inception.
No.
But if you want to talk about intellectual, challenging, sci-fi, I think that's my choice. I haven't seen it yet, but that looks like the one.
And now we go to the other end of the spectrum for June 7th, and we have an M. Night Shyamalan film.
Yeah. You know, the this is called, what the hell is it
After
called?
Earth.
After Earth. Yeah.
With Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
And his son, Jaden.
Yeah.
Who might be the most hated child actor. I mean, when that Karate Kid movie came out, people were just relentless on that kid, including me.
Yeah. I skipped that. I mean, you know, I didn't need that in my life. I mean, I'm such a fan. I'm such a fan of the 1984 film.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I just, you know, the way that just Will Smith is just like, you know, I don't know if he pushed his kid into the spotlight like this or what it is, but it just seems like bad parenting to me. And I don't know.
Will Smith just annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. If you've noticed, if you watch the teasers or the trailers for After Earth, Shyamalan's name is not shown at all. They're hiding it. Most of the time, you know, when after Sixth Sense, every one of his movies was M. Night Shyamalan's this, and his name was above the title.
Right.
And it was, and I think when Devil came
out, that
changed
what
everything.
That trailer, when his name came out, there's that YouTube video that went viral when that trailer, when it said, you know, from produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
No, it was from the mind.
From the mind of M. Night Shyamalan everybody in the audience booed.
Right.
That video just went everywhere, and suddenly, like, studios are just like, yeah, it's After Earth. It's got Will Smith in it.
don't worry about who directed it.
It's Will Smith. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it looks terrible, and it's M. Night Shyamalan, so that's not one I'm looking forward to at all. Also, we just had a movie where the White House went down, but we got another one. comes out June 28th. Roland Emmerich, who's destroyed the White House, I think, in 15 movies.
Yeah.
And it's Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx as the president. And I think we have another kick-ass president. I think he runs around punching people in the face in this
one.
Like Aaron Eckhart and like Harrison Ford in the past.
Yeah.
But this is people go. What is it? It's same kind of plot, right? Terrorists.
Pretty much.
Take down the White House?
Pretty much. And I saw the trailer, and yeah, everything blows up as you'd expect in a Roland Emmerich film. I imagine him like at home. Like Daniel Day-Lewis and There Will Be Blood, just shooting at things, blowing things up. Like, the guy just wants to destroy everything in his path. You know, it's like nothing subtle about Roland Emmerich movies.
No.
And I dread them, but there are moments in his movies where I'm like, that looks so cool. Because I like apocalyptic stuff.
I
just do.
Yeah.
And there are visual moments in his movies where I'm like, damn, that's cool. I wish the rest of the movie was as good as that shot.
Yeah, I can't say that I like any moments in Roland Emmerich movies.
I know.
And I'm not looking forward to it.
No, I'm not either. But
another one that's coming out in the comedy world, this is Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy starring in The Heat, which comes out June 28th. And it's directed by Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids, and it's his first movie since Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And I don't know about this one.
You know, I mean, it's got, you know, and Paul Feig, I want to trust him because he, you know, I like Paul Feig. You know, he's also responsible for Freaks and Geeks and, you know, a lot of other cool things. But, you know, Sandra Bullock has never filled me with any confidence. Melissa McCarthy's last movie was Identity Thief, which I absolutely hated.
I told you I caught up with that one, right?
No. Oh yeah. Well, you did off the air, I think. Yeah, just now. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It's awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, it is just two
great actors. There you go. Yep.
Just wasting their time. You know, that's like the precursor to The Big Wedding almost. and this one, the trailer just doesn't do it for me. And I want to like Melissa McCarthy. I want her to keep succeeding the way she's been succeeding.
But she seems to be getting pigeonholed now.
Yeah, she's like coasting on this persona of hers that, you know, was very funny in Bridesmaids. I just don't think you could do this, you know, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I hope she finds a new shtick. And I hope this movie surprises me, but, you know, I don't know.
Me too. I'm kind of leery about it. And I'm also leery about This Is the End. This is Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote it. There's a directorial debut. Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride. I guess he has pictures of them somehow. I don't know why they owe him something.
Yeah.
Craig Robinson, Jay Baruchel, and James Franco. And they all play themselves at a big party that Franco is throwing. And an apocalyptic event happens outside, and the world is ending, and all of these real movie stars are stuck in Franco's house.
Yeah. It looks very meta. You know, it's like you got to know a lot about movies and a lot about these guys and their careers. And care a lot in order to enjoy it. It looks like that kind of movie. Looks, you know, self-indulgent, I guess, is the word for it. But, you know, these guys do make me laugh.
Right.
So that's right. That's what I'm hoping for here.
And then there's the – let's finish up with this last comedy, The Internship, which I don't even – it just looks so horrible. It's Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson reuniting from the wedding crashers, and they play a couple of guys in their 40s who get an internship at Google.
Yeah. It looks dreadful.
It looks
worse than Hangover 3, actually.
It does.
I got to say.
It does.
I mean, I just watched a trailer tonight and didn't laugh once, didn't smile once. It just looks dreadful.
That's June 7th. Monsters University, we mentioned last night.
Yeah.
We're both looking forward to that. It's Pixar. We hope it's good. We got to move along a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
We're out of time.
Yep.
World War Z, I don't even know what to say about it. I'm not looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a disaster. And then you know how I feel about fast zombies, especially zombies who climb all over each other.
Well, okay, you say that, but I know you've liked movies that have fast zombies in them.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, and you like 28 Days Later.
They're not zombies. I don't want to get into
the
technical
aspect
of that.
All right. You like Return of the Living Dead?
Yes, I do. Yeah, very much. Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. But I've read the book,
okay.
And here's the thing. They've screwed the book up already.
Oh, okay.
Like, having seen the trailer, I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the book is outstanding. You have not read the book?
No, I've not read the book.
The book is outstanding.
Okay.
And I don't think Max Brooks had anything to do with the screenplay. I think, I think it went through about 8,000 rewrites, if I'm not mistaken. It was rewritten and then reshot. And
yeah, well,
very troubled production.
Well, yeah, and it's directed by Mark Forrester, who proved that he can't do a James Bond movie. Now he's going to prove that he can't do a zombie movie.
All right. Well, we're going to go into July here in a second. Quick break. We'll come back and wrap up the summer movie preview. If you want to sneak in a phone call or two, call us at 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are wrapping up our summer movie preview. We're here till midnight, and then it's WGN weekend late night. Colin Suter is with me. And we were just talking off the air about the amount of sequels there are this summer. And there's always a good amount of sequels.
Right.
But we've got, like, The Wolverine is a sequel.
Right.
Or actually, I don't even know where that is on the timeline.
It's late July.
No. I mean, in the timeline of the character. I have no idea when it takes place.
No, I don't either.
But then there's Grown Ups 2, which is the sequel to the Adam Sandler piece of crap from a couple of years ago.
You got Despicable Me 2, mm-hmm. and then you got two that I just couldn't dread anymore. The Smurfs 2 mm-hmm. and Red 2.
Yeah.
The Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren thriller.
I don't understand how those movies could be sequelized. Did the Smurfs make money?
The Smurfs made money. I was shocked that Red made enough money to warrant a sequel. The Smurfs doesn't surprise me. Red surprises me.
Yeah.
And then in August, you got a prequel to 300, 300 Rise of an Empire, from the director of Smart People, of all things.
<I know>.
And then you got another Percy Jackson movie, which I didn't think would ever happen because I didn't think the first one did any. But those books are popular. So.
Right.
And
Kick-Ass 2.
Minus Nicolas Cage.
Right.
So,
but plus Jim Carrey.
Right.
And then it's not really a sequel, but they're advertising it as in the world of cars.
Yeah.
And it's called Planes.
Yeah, this confuses me. It's from Disney, but it's not from Pixar.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
It was supposed to. This is what I heard. It's about planes instead of cars. So
you know how in
cars the eyes were the windshield,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the mouth was the grill. It's the same kind of thing. The eyes are the windshield for the planes, and blah blah blah. And it's about this little plane that wants to do well.
Yeah.
Voiced by Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to go straight to video.
Yeah.
And I guess the people at Disney were like, oh, it's good. Let's release it. Or they were like, we can make a lot more money.
I think it's probably more the latter. Yeah. You know, this looks like this could be the summer's Space Chimps, you know.
Yeah. So that's a lot of sequels. Now we're going to have, now we're just kind of hopping around, which is fine.
Yeah.
August 28th, one of the last movies of the summer, is this thing called The Mortal Instruments City of Bones. Now, how many more young adult novels are we just going to get thrown at us now?
I think it's going to be never ending now. I mean, because they're going to keep writing them.
Yeah.
They keep selling them as books, you know, and if they sell as books, they're going to make them into movies because it's easy. This thing's been, they've been advertising this for a while. I saw a poster for this, like, way back like around this time last year, I think.
Yeah, and I saw this. I saw the trailer for it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Really long time ago.
And but it doesn't bode a lot of, they don't have a lot of confidence, you can tell, but just with that release date.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe it makes sense to release something like that as school is starting, you know, generating buzz among the young people.
Some of the smaller ones that I'm sort of interested in, I'm really interested in, it comes out August 9th, Lovelace with Amanda Seyfried and my boy Peter Sarsgaard.
Yeah.
It's about the life of Linda Lovelace and the way that she was treated by her husband, Peter Sarsgaard, in the film, and being forced into porn. And I've heard pretty good things about it. It's been screened at festivals. Also in August, David Gordon Green's new movie comes out, which, of course, you know, you and I are, I mean, you are especially interested in.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd and Emile Hirsch, and it seems like a return to form, or it looks at least like a return to form for David Gordon Green, and thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I'm not expecting it to be as great as those first four films, but, you know, if it's not as bad as the last two, I'm a happy guy. Yeah. You know,
actually,
you know
what?
In that direction.
I've re-watched The Sitter.
Yeah.
And I found some stuff in The Sitter to... You know,
there's funny stuff in it.
There is, and I think there's some David Gordon Green stuff in there.
There
too.
Is. Oh, there is.
The only one that I just find no merit to whatsoever is Your Highness.
Yeah, no, there
That's
is.
That's
no
the.
Merit
I mean, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and it's impossible for me to believe that he directed that.
Yeah.
I guess one of the big tent poles of the summer coming out 4th of July weekend is The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Are you?
I really am. When I saw the trailer, I'm just absolutely thrilled. I like Gore Verbinski. I think he's a good action director and a good storyteller, and you know, him and Johnny Depp, I think that's been a good, you know, combination.
It's, you know, I was not a fan of Rango.
I know you were.
Not at all, actually. And you know, I think the Pirates movies I can live with. You know, without him, I'm not a big fan of The Ring. I'm not, I didn't really like The Weatherman. So I guess I'm not really a big Gore Verbinski fan.
Yeah, you're not. You're not.
And there's just something about The Lone Ranger, because I have this, here's the thing, and I'm associate, it's not being fair to this film, but my mind keeps going back to the summer of 1979.
Okay.
And when they released a new version of The Lone Ranger.
Right.
And I grew up Sunday mornings watching The Lone Ranger right before I watched pro wrestling. By the way, the DDP interview from earlier will be podcast. So I loved The Lone Ranger when I was a kid. Obviously, I'm too young to have listened to the radio show, but I did watch with Clayton Moore, I watched the show every Sunday morning. So I was very excited. And it was one of the worst movies, 1979, it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and historically one of the worst movies ever made, and was the debut of an actor, and this is the guy's real name. This is the guy's real name, and nobody will ever forget it. He lives in infamy. Never had a career after this. I think he just made this one movie, they ran his ass out of town, and his name was Clinton Spilsbury. I'm not kidding you, man. And they were making a big deal back in 1979. Clinton Spilsbury is the new Lone Ranger. And I'm like, how the hell can a guy named Clinton Spilsbury be the new Lone Ranger? And so there's just something about rebooting this again. Where I'm like, and I know it's completely different, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all told from Tonto's point of view.
Yeah,
so that
and it's Johnny Depp and it's Armie Hammer, and there's no Clinton Spilsbury to be found. So anyway, and that comes out July 4th, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to Pacific Rim. I like big monster movies, busting down buildings and stuff, and Guillermo del Toro I like a lot.
We're going to get a lot of that this summer. A lot of destruction, a lot of mayhem. So hopefully we still have an appetite for that when that thing comes around.
Yeah. But I like a good big monster movie. That's
sure.
You know,
well, that's that's what the summer's all about.
July 12th is that one, and then let's see. There is
And also in August, Edgar Wright has a new movie coming out.
Yes, he does.
I know very little about it, but I'm instantly excited. Even though I hated the Scott Pilgrim movie,
I did too.
But this looks like this might be a return to form for
him. Yeah, well, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, they wrote it with Edgar Wright, so it's like it's just like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. It's that creative group.
Yep.
It's about a pub crawl that goes wrong.
Yeah, it's called The World's End. So
yes,
another apocalyptic thing.
Movie.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, the last one I want to talk about, because we're running out of time, Joseph Gordon-Levitt makes his directorial debut. I can't wait to see it. It comes out in August. They don't have a date yet. Don John is what it's called, and he's the lead. Scarlett Johansson, Julianne Moore, and Tony Danza. And it's about a Casanova who, I guess, learns his lessons.
Yeah, and I want to say The Spectacular Now, which I have seen, comes out August 2nd, and it's with Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley, great coming-of-age movie. Also from the director of Smashed, this one also deals with alcoholism in a very unique, very interesting way.
And the girl, the young lady who was in The Descendants is in it, and she's a terrific actress.
Yeah.
So. All right, we got to cut loose, but very, very quickly, we want to remind people to go see Mud.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey in Mud. It's the best film of the year so far.
Yeah.
With tremendous performances, particularly this kid. Keep your eye on him. Ty Sheridan is his name.
Yeah,
By far the best movie of the year so far, Mud. Thanks, Colin.
All right, thank you.
Talk to you Friday.
Yep.